Good evening, everyone. It's really special to be joining in again with you for another night of evening prayer here at the start of another week. A really special welcome to those of you for whom it's the first time that you're joining us for this. And for everyone else who have been there faithfully every single night, it's awesome to have you here with us again as well. Let me begin by reading what should now be some familiar words. Ete whānau, family, my brothers and sisters in Christ, our help is in the name of the eternal God who is making the heavens and the earth. Eternal Spirit, flow through our being and open our lips that our mouths may proclaim your praise, and let us worship the God who loves us. Amen. Amen. Family in Christ, can I encourage you tonight with the words of the psalmist who writes in Psalm 36, your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your justice like the ocean depths. You care for people and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your unfailing love. All humanity finds shelter in the shadow of your wings. You feed them from the abundance of your own house, letting them drink from your river of delight. For you are the fountain of life, the light by which we see. Our gospel reading tonight comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 19, and starting in at verse 16. And as we were doing last week, I am reading again from the Message paraphrase. Another day, a man stopped Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Why do you question me about what's good? God is the one who is good. If you want to enter the life of God, just do what he tells you." And the man asked, "Well, what in particular?" And Jesus said, "Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as you do yourself." The young man said, "I've done all of that, so what's left?" "If you want to give it all you've got," Jesus replied, "then go and sell your possessions and give everything to the poor, and all your wealth will then be in heaven, and then come and follow me." That was the last thing that the young man expected to hear, and so crestfallen he walked away. He was holding on tight to a lot of things, and he just couldn't bear to let them go. As he watched him go, Jesus told his disciples, "Do you have any idea how difficult it is for the rich to enter God's kingdom? Let me tell you, it's easier to gallop a camel through a needle's eye than for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were staggered. "Then who has any chance at all?" Jesus looked hard at them and said, "No chance at all if you think that you can pull it off yourself, but every chance in the world if you trust in God to do it." This is one of those ouchy kinds of stories. Jesus is met by this man who seems really interested in pleasing God. He wants to make sure that he's got everything ticked off to achieve eternal life. He's got all of the Old Testament commandments on lock. He knows the law inside out. And so he comes to Jesus with questions about how he can improve on his perfection. And Jesus does what Jesus tends to do. And he gets right to the heart of the matter, knowing that while those other things might be comparatively easy for this man, still there are parts of his life that he has made off limits to God. And so the man walks away crestfallen because, well, he's not ready to let go. A few years back, maybe that's the part that I'd have wanted to major on. It's easier to gallop a camel through a needle's eye than for the rich to enter God's kingdom, Jesus says to the astonished disciples. And the power to the people sociology student in me would have raised my fist in solidarity with that comment. Of course, there's some truth there, and perhaps I can hide behind the words of John Wesley for a minute, who said, "Do you not know that God entrusted you with all of that money above what buys necessities for your families to feed the hungry and to clothe the naked and to help the stranger, the widow and the fatherless, and indeed, as far as it will go to relieve the wants of all mankind? How can you," John Wesley says, "how dare you defraud the Lord by applying it to any other purpose?" It's a point about worship, hey, that God doesn't just want bits of us, he wants everything. He wants us to see the things we own as gifts from him to be used to bless this world rather than to allow them to become the things that own us and end up leading to our own destruction. And I might have wanted to major there, but tonight, perhaps it's actually the last couple of lines in our reading that I really want to leave you with. Who has a chance at eternal life at all, the disciples are wondering, and perhaps us as well. Jesus looks hard at them and says, no chance at all if you think you can pull it off yourself, but every chance in the world if you trust God to do it. Next week is Holy Week. The cross is on the horizon again, back to a reminder that actually in all things we don't really have a chance. We didn't have a chance at all until God did something about it. Somewhere along the way, I picked up that kind of Protestant work ethic way of thinking. You know, God does this, sure. God does that, yeah, I know. But what really matters is what I'm doing. And yes, what we do, how we live, it matters. Jesus is saying that in this passage. But it doesn't matter anywhere near as much as what God has done and what God is doing. It turns out, in fact, that we are insufficient to earn salvation on our own. We are all like that man who walked away sad, knowing that what Jesus was asking was far beyond him. But that's exactly why Jesus is there, isn't it? It's to help people like him and people like us to find our way home once again, because we aren't good. God is good. And God comes and he offers himself in our place for our very lack of goodness. And we have a chance. We have every chance in the world, in fact, if we're willing to put our lives and our hopes and our dreams and our priorities and all that we are in his hands. We can trust him with all of it. And so tonight, perhaps at the start of this new week, we can pray. Last week, we couldn't have imagined where we'd all be right now, but here we are. God has carried us this far, and amongst it all, we at least have some certainty now for how the week ahead is going to look. And so, shall we pray together tonight as we look to the days ahead? Lord, thank you that you are good. Thank you that your love for us is bigger than anything that we can comprehend. Thank you for that cross which is looming close now, that reminder of your commitment to helping us find our way back to you. We thank you for your presence with us in the uncertainty of the last 7 days. We thank you that, as the psalmist wrote at the start of our time tonight in Psalm 36, that all humanity can find shelter beneath the shadow of your wings, that you are the fountain of life, and that even in the presence of fear and death, we can hope and trust in you. And so we pray this week for the lonely, for the fearful, for the unwell. And we ask that they would know the comfort of your presence in these uncertain times. We pray for our essential workers, from the medical staff in our hospitals to the rubbish collectors and the checkout workers. We ask that you would protect them in their work and in their service in this week ahead. We pray for our children, who are still learning to adjust to a far more restricted kind of life. Oh Lord, give them imaginations and joy in the small things in the days to come. We pray for their parents in need of extra rest and energy. Bless them with what they need to provide security and comfort to these ones that you love so dearly. We pray for everyone who are learning to balance work and life at home. Oh Lord, give them grace for themselves and for what can be achieved in each day. And Lord, again tonight we place those we love and those who are particularly on our hearts in this time, and let's name them out loud together now. We place each of these into your hands. And so as we come to the end of our prayer time, we pray together again using those familiar words that Jesus gave us. And so please join in with whatever version it is that you know. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Well, it's been really special to share another time of evening prayer along with all of you. May God bless you in these days ahead, and I'll look forward to sitting down with my family and praying again together with all of you tomorrow night. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace, now and forevermore. Amen.